The state of Wisconsin is moving away from carbon-based fuels, such as coal, and moving toward renewable energy sources, such as wind and solar. And this means that there's more opportunity for Wisconsin farmers to add value to their farm with solar arrays. But you're going to want to proceed with caution. Bill Omakin joins us in studio. He's a professor of practice and law at the UW-Madison Division of Extension. He says there's roughly 100 or more solar developers that are seeking to do business with Wisconsin farmers and lease land for solar arrays. Bill says it's important for farmers to think carefully before signing solar agreements. He comes at it with a cautionary lens because these are long-term contracts. He outlines common mistakes that people run into when signing these agreements.
I always get a little nervous when you have new types of developers coming out and dangling a lot of money in front of people, and people haven't really had much of an opportunity to think about what are the long-term implications, much less the short-term implications. So in the case of solar, we're talking about a 20-year contract, typically, to lease land. And you're being offered somewhere between $500 to $1,200 per acre per year for that contract. And for some farmers, that's going to be very attractive, particularly depending on where we are in the farm economy. The challenge is that, again, this is a 20-year contract. And especially if you're a producer looking to transition to the next generation, does the next generation want to tie up 40 acres in a solar array? But in the short term, have you really thought about how you'd use those 40 acres and whether or not you're going to change that use over time? Once you've leased it, you no longer really have control over it.
When you are now sharing your property with a developer, for example, are you losing out on some of your property rights?
Well, I think the largest potential implication is use value taxation. That's generally been very beneficial to farmers across the state of Wisconsin. And it is not clear whether a solar array on top of ag land still qualifies that ag land for use value. Some assessors are saying yes, some assessors are saying no. When I've talked to the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, they're not quite certain what their position is. So you do take a risk that suddenly the taxes on that land are going to go up considerably.
So the political landscape is also changing around the category that you'd put renewable energy into.
The support for renewable energy tends to be relatively consistent, but what we've seen, particularly in other states, is once a party replaces the party that was in power, either suddenly they become much more supportive of renewable energy or much less supportive renewable energy. So you're tying up your land in a 20-year contract, but the support for that type of renewable energy may either increase or decrease over that time period.
So again, some of the things you should be thinking about before putting ink to paper. What does the next generation on the farm want? That succession plan.
Right.
Maybe some of the tax questions you need to ask. What about, can you build on your farm when they do construction on there? Like, do you have to start asking permission?
I'm going to give a really lawyer-like response to that. And that depends. Depends on what's in that contract or that agreement. And that agreement may say that you cannot build a farm building next to the solar array to block the sun. And if that land next to the solar array was the best spot on your farm for a farm building, realize you've contracted that away. And if you attempt to do that, that's a breach of contract, and that developer can bring a lawsuit against you and force you to have that building removed. So there are rights that you give up, and that's why I say read the contracts carefully. Consult with knowledgeable legal counsel at the time that you're looking to contract.
Privacy, maybe that's something to negotiate too. When can they come onto the farm for maintenance and construction? And do you lose out on some of that, the privacy that a farm owner gets?
Yeah, you do want to make very clear in the contractor agreement what roads on the farm can be used by the developer. There'll be the initial construction stage, and then you'll also have the 20 years where the solar array is being used or producing energy, and they'll need to come onto it from time to time for maintenance. And you'll want to make clear what roads can be used. If you have an important road that's on the property that's been leased, you want to make sure that you've retained the ability to use that road, because if you don't read the contract carefully, you may contract that away.
Any concerns over, can I still hunt on my land? Can I still, ride my ATV in that area of the property? Does that come up?
I haven't seen that come up a lot, but those, again, are considerations you really need to think about. Most solar developers are not going to want hunting in and around their solar array for fear that bullets will destroy the panels. But will there be any restrictions on any kind of farm use within a certain number of feet of the solar array as well? Those are things that you'll want to know. And in addition to that, you'll want to know, can I do anything underneath that solar array? Can I still do some ag practices? A lot of research being done where you can graze livestock under solar arrays and that works well. That would be an argument for retaining use value taxation as well. Those are things that you're going to want to know in advance before you sign the dotted line. And don't just sign with the first contractor who comes to you. Chances are if one contractor's come to you, others are going to as well. And you may get a better deal, more dollars and fewer restrictions from that later contractor.
And again, these are things that you don't just have to think about, am I going to want this in the next year? It's things you're going to say, do I want this over the next 20 years?
That's right. Think forward. A lot of us are not really conditioned to think forward. We tend to live in the moment. And especially if we have monetary needs that are pretty immediate, but you do need to think forward 20 years.
Past that, can you require that the developer decommission that after the contract is up so you can continue doing whatever else you want with the land?
Stephanie, that's a great question. And there's kind of two responses to that. In one case, the developer will say, well, when this 20-year agreement has expired or whatever the term is, that you can have ownership of the solar array. And the farmer might think, well, that's a great deal. I'll be producing all this energy. But solar arrays degrade over time and they get much less efficient. So but at the end of the 20 years, you may not actually be producing a lot of energy. The other side of it is I highly recommend that there be a bond provision in that agreement. So you require a bond to be taken out by the developer so that there is money available to remove that solar array at the end of the 20 years if you as the farmer decide it should be removed.
How big are these contracts typically? You said there's usually a lot
of
provisions.
Contracts typically are 10, 12 pages long, a lot of complicated language. And that comes from someone who's been doing contracts for about 35 years as well as a lawyer. And so that's why it's really important to know what each provision means and what your options are. I spent 6 years at the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection protecting farmers from contracts that were unfair. Did the same thing when I was the Deputy Minnesota Agriculture Commissioner. And unfortunately, there are always going to be some unscrupulous developers out there, and they want to take advantage of whoever they're contracting with, and we just want to make sure it's not the farmers of Wisconsin.
We had been approaching this from a cautionary lens, but have there been success stories?
Yeah, there are a number of producers who've contracted in the state of Wisconsin and have been very happy so far with their agreements with the producers, whether it's for solar, whether it's for wind energy. And so, yeah, there's definitely a positive side. It's another income stream for the producer. But again, there's the negative side. And there are some producers who are worried that a lot of good farmland in Wisconsin is going to go beneath solar arrays. And so there is a tension here. And we don't really get into the politics of it. What we just try to do is like, go into the contract with your eyes open.
Bill Omakin joining us in studio, professor of law at the UW-Madison Division of Extension. He says there is a fact sheet on the Division of Extension website under local government. It has a lot of information on contract agreements and what to watch for and how to understand them. Extension cannot be a farmer's attorney, and he advises consulting with legal counsel before getting into a solar agreement. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.